Greetings, it's time for Native Sun, bringing you news of Indian country on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. My first article today is from the AZ Mirror and is by Shandine Silversmith, Printer Errors Plague Navajo Voting Sites, Leading to Long Lines and Extra Hours. This was published on November the 5th. With temperatures dropping in the final hour that polls are open, voters at some Apache County polling locations are still facing long wait times to cast their ballot, and Navajo Nation leaders convinced a judge to keep the polls open until 9 p.m. The voting site in Chinle on the Navajo Nation has had a long line throughout the day, as issues with ballot machines, printing ballots, and confusion among voters. One voter waited for 2 hours to cast their vote and said it was a mess inside. Another voter was stuck in line holding a misprinted ballot that she said needed to be voided so she could vote in person. A few more voters, bundled in sweaters, said they'd already been in line for about an hour, but were going to stick it out to make sure they cast their ballot. As the sun went down, the line in front of the Chinle polling site was still leading into the gravel parking lot, with voters waiting for their turn to vote as temperatures sank into the 40s. Arizona Native Vote Protection Project volunteers Sadie Red Eagle and Shandine Herrera arrived at the Chinle polling location at 6 a.m., and it didn't open on time. Red Eagle said there were voters already on site waiting in the pitch black for the polling location to open, which it did at about 6:15 a.m. But the issues did not stop there. Red Eagle said the Chinle location was one of several Apache County polling sites that did not have enough ballots printed, and a lot of their machines have not been able to provide enough ballots as voters came in to vote in person. Locations have been reporting that some of their machines are broken, she said, adding that two machines have been broken at the Chinle location. The other sites included Many Farms, Wheatfield, Cottonwood, and Round Rock. Red Eagle said this has resulted in many of the surrounding locations to send their voters to Chinle, where they've encountered issues where out-of-precinct voters are trying to cast their ballots. Poll workers are incorrectly telling them they can't vote here, although they're required by law to provide accessible voter devices, she said. Issues with the on-demand ballot printers, which plagued multiple Apache County voting sites on Navajo land, prompted Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin to file an emergency lawsuit seeking to extend voting in the county for 2 additional hours. Navajo people represent a powerful voting base, and we've demonstrated in the past that we can change the outcome of state and federal elections, Nigrin said in a press release. Today's issues in Apache County are troubling, but our Navajo voters should not be discouraged. The leaders of Apache County have reached out to me, and we're working to ensure that our Navajo voters are being accommodated due to the technical failures. Nigrin said the technology errors have disproportionately affected Navajo voters, and a failure to extend voting times risks disenfranchising them. If Navajo Nation members are unable to vote, the collective power and voice of the Navajo Nation is reduced, he said. If some of its members are unable to vote, the Navajo Nation's overall ability to advocate effectively for critical resources for the Navajo Nation and the Navajo people is jeopardized. Nigrin's office said affected voters should call the Native Vote Hotline at 1-888-777-3831 if they were experiencing problems. It isn't immediately clear how many voters were affected. The county has 44 precincts and around 54,000 registered voters. Shortly before the scheduled 7 p.m. closing time, Apache County Superior Court Judge Michael Latham issued an order allowing 9 polling sites on the Navajo Nation to remain open until 9 p.m. The affected locations are in Chinle, Cottonwood, Denahotso, Fort Defiance, Lukachukai, Lupton, Rock Point, St. Michael's, and Wheatfields. That was Printer Errors Plague Navajo Voting Sites. From Cronkite News by Brianna Chappie, and also published on November the 5th, White Mountain Apache members participate in Ride to the Polls movement. Kaya Aiello, 20, sat on top of her horse, Amaro, Tuesday and prepared to lead a group to the only polling location in the small town on the Fort Apache Indian Reservation so they could cast votes in the 2024 presidential election. Aiello is a field organizer for Arizona Native Vote, a nonprofit organization that seeks to amplify indigenous voices in rural communities throughout Arizona, including on Hopi and Navajo land and the three other federally recognized Apache tribes in Arizona. Aiello and other Apache, including Miss White Mountain Apache Charity Johnson, who's 23, and Jada Vargas, who's 19, and who is co-president of the White Mountain Apache Tribal Youth Council, were the driving force behind White River's march to the polls. The event was part of a large-scale movement that originated from the Navajo Nation and has since spread across Arizona, where people are encouraged to walk, ride, or skate to the election polling places to cast their ballots and make their voices heard. "When we vote, it counts. When we show up, it matters," Aiello said. "We can make a difference." White River has a population of roughly 4,500 people, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But the White Mountain Apache tribe that Aiello and a majority of the attendees belong to has around 17,000 members that reside across 9 major reservations, with White River representing the largest population of tribe members. The frost that blanketed the area had barely subsided by 8 a.m., and the temperature hung at a chilly 30 degrees when Aiello rode up to Times Square, an area in White River between a supermarket and a Wells Fargo bank. But frigid temperatures didn't stop attendees from showing up. Landis Reed, a youth organizer with Arizona Native Vote, who had been in the area since 6 a.m., encouraging people to vote, emphasized the importance of being part of the community they are working to support. "Just having someone who is from their own reservation, who knows the people, who knows the trauma and what the people have gone through," Reed said. "Our votes matter because our votes speak words," said Miss White Mountain Apache Charity Johnson. Apache Gan dancers, who embody the spirit of Gan, or mountain spirits, danced to the beat of drums as the group marched to the polling place. The Gan dancers showcase dances taught by Gan that bring healing and harmony to the Apache and today to the elections. We get to actually have a voice now," said Mylile Ethelba, a White Mountain Apache tribe member and artist within the community. "Especially the amount of tribal people that are in the tribe that finally have the chance to voice their opinions. Because before this, we weren't allowed to. Arizona was one of the last states to allow voting rights for Native Americans. And for years afterward, indigenous communities still faced hurdles when it came to voting. Today, problems around elections still persist on indigenous lands, including misinformation. A lot of people didn't know that it was voting day," Aiello said. "We were out canvassing the past couple of weeks and reminding people, do you have a plan to vote? Do you need a ride? And they either didn't know it was the election or they weren't registered." Receiving ballots is another issue Aiello said she noticed on Apache land. "People get their ballots by post office boxes, not residential addresses," Aiello said. "So they would either have to be hand-delivered or just, hopefully, everyone gets to the post office." Despite these issues, Aiello and other Apaches have persevered to make sure their community participates in the election. For Vargas, this will be her first time voting. Vargas was at Gila River Reservation when President Joe Biden issued an apology on behalf of the federal government for its role in Native American boarding schools. Vargas called the event amazing. Through the White Mountain Apache Tribal Youth Council, Vargas helped with community outreach services and leadership on Apache land, giving Apache youth a voice. "It's important to vote because our voices really need to be heard," Vargas said. "Our voice is very powerful." That was White Mountain Apache members participate in Ride to the Polls. And now, Fear, Uncertainty, and Determination Following the Election, by Felix Clary of ICT, published November 11th, 2024. In tribal administrative offices and in the homes of indigenous people from Alaska to Florida, many native people awoke the day after Tuesday's election to find what they had feared, the election of former President Donald Trump. Feelings of fear and uncertainty experienced by many Native people during the president-elect's first term in office returned. And Native leaders and individuals expressed those feelings on social media and elsewhere. But not all Native people were concerned about Trump's reascension. Indeed, Trump appeared to have earned the votes of many Native people this year, a fact not lost on missing and murdered Indigenous women advocacy group Not Our Native Daughters, which questioned the decision by so many Native voters to support the former president. At least one organization expressed frustration at barriers faced by Native voters. Margaret Faliano, Illumin Natives, Associate Director of Advocacy and Engagement, said Native people faced more barriers this year to get to the polls than she expected. "I'm disappointed," she said. "We've been doing Get Out the Vote efforts for the Native Vote campaign. We've been doing phone training for poll workers, training on how to really exert your rights going to the polls, how to use a tribal ID, all of those things." Faliano gave an example of Natives struggling to vote in Arizona on election night. Folks were driving up to 200 miles to get to their local polling stations, and at the polling stations they didn't have enough ballots, or their systems were down, or they closed early, and people were in line up to like 9 p.m. and freezing in the cold. Illuminative is a Native woman-led racial and social justice organization dedicated to increasing the visibility of and challenging the narrative about Native peoples. The organization received rapid response requests from Native Arizona voters for food and blankets at the polls. Faliano said Arizona was one of the key states in 2020 that helped former President Joe Biden secure his victory, and was disappointed in Native voter suppression due to complications at the poll sites. "With President Trump's second office, we don't know exactly what the future will hold, but we can look at the past to see what Trump's record of policies that vastly reduced environmental protections at the federal level," Faliano said. "We saw federal laws like the National Environmental Policy Act, the Clean Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act weakened during Trump's first term, when these had enabled tribes to give input around projects regarding their ancestral lands." She said, "In his first term, Trump enacted his America First energy plan, which expedited controversial projects like the Dakota Access Pipeline and Keystone Access Pipelines. Native communities broke out in protest over the pipelines, and Faliano said the opposition by Native nations was monumental and sustained." She also worries that national monuments like Bears Ears National Monument in Utah could be at risk, as it was reduced by about 85% during Trump's first term. The Biden administration worked to restore the boundaries of Bears Ears, which is considered sacred to several tribes. Trump's support of fossil fuel projects could also impact tribal lands. "These are projects that are just likely to deepen the mining crisis, which harms indigenous people disproportionately, as well as the fact that programs that man camps and mining bring to the reservation could exacerbate the MMIP, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons, crisis," said Faliano. Let me interrupt here for just a minute to remind you that you're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been bringing the disabled audio access to print information for over 40 years. Learn how to support us at sunsounds.org, where you can listen to our live stream and to individual episodes on demand. You can also do those things now with the Sun Sounds mobile app, which is available for iPhone and Android at their respective app stores. "In the Trump administration, they don't really have a plan to engage Indian country," Faliano said. Whereas that transition team for the Harris-Waltz administration had appointed Jade Begay, who's a very well-known advocate in the Native nonprofit space, in the Native organizing space, and all those things in between. On a local and state level, tribal leaders saw victories and losses on election night. Jason Salzman, spokesperson for the Muscogee Nation, was dispirited over the loss of Oklahoma Justice Yvonne Cowger. We're disappointed that a reputable defender of tribal sovereignty, someone who spearheaded the Sovereignty Symposium, did not come through, but we're glad that Justices James Edmondson and Noe McGurick remain, said Salzman. Cherokee Nation Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. released a statement congratulating the victors and planning how to manage community needs during Trump's second term. As principal chief, I've worked with federal leaders on a bipartisan basis to advance the well-being of Indian country, including during President-elect Trump's first term in office, said Hoskin. During and after the transition of presidential administrations, we will continue pressing the United States to honor its treaty obligations to Native peoples, respect our sovereignty, and meet obligations to provide needed resources to our tribal nations. Still others expressed indifference at Harris's loss, said Osage licensed trauma therapist Marka Cassidy, who uses they-them pronouns. Some have expressed feeling disillusioned with all of the political candidates and parties and refrained from voting for Harris, as they disagree with her and the Biden administration's approach to the horrific situation in Gaza, Cassidy said. A majority of Cassidy's community, however, has expressed despair, as they often work with two-spirit individuals, they said. The two-spirit identity is both Native and queer, and most two-spirit people identify with the LGBTQIA community. There are a variety of responses I'm hearing. Some two-spirit people are feeling stunned and in deep fear, some to the point of panic, said Cassidy. They said two-spirit people feel their protection in the U.S. is already so fragile, and those who are transgender fear they will lose their gender-affirming health care under the Trump administration that the Harris administration likely would have protected. Cherokee and Delaware tribal citizen Cray Beaumont Flynn of Tulsa, Oklahoma, expressed concern that Native people and two-spirit people could be marginalized again. Beaumont Flynn is the founder of the All Nations Two-Spirit Society, which is hosting its 37th annual International Two-Spirit Gathering in Hinton, Oklahoma, next week. We've done so much fighting and wanted to be heard. It seems like maybe three steps backward, but we have to be adamant about our cause, our needs, our voices, said Beaumont Flynn. There are resources and organizations out there and individuals within the community that are here to help, just to be a sounding board or there for our community and individuals. Moving forward during a second Trump presidency, it will be important for Native and Two-Spirit people to focus on caring for their health and that of their communities, Cassidy said. There are many unknowns coming our way. It will take time to see how things unfold, so there will be a deep need for self-care and community care, they said. As a trauma therapist, I encourage folks to deepen right now into fostering habits of whatever helps them to stay grounded and centered spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The basics of eating healthy food, staying hydrated, slowing down, and being aware of your surroundings. It's important to co-create connections with trusted friends and families, as tensions can cause rupture in these relationships that folks need right now. Whether or not people continue to express their two-spirit identities outwardly, Cassidy said, it is still important to have spaces and relationships to retreat into at times for self-care, and to stay resourced in the coming days ahead. Beaumont Flynn said the two-spirit and Native communities should avoid being inundated with the bad news or the negativity, and to keep looking at the good news. Tomorrow's another day, he said. You're not alone in this. Join discussion groups and organizations. It may just take a little longer than expected. With any bad news, it can be inundated. But there's always two sides. We just have to keep moving forward and charging ahead. The next step moving forward is to mobilize and get more voters to Indian country, said Salzman. There are all types of initiatives like Illuminative, the NDN Collective, Rock the Native Vote. There's national coalitions trying to be built to drum up support. At the end of the day, are we where we want to be? No. But I think there is a day to come that politicians on a national scale will have to concern themselves with the native vote on election day, he said. Faliano said Native nations must continue organizing and demanding a seat for all demanding a seat at all tables where issues are being discussed that impact tribal communities. We've been here since before the first president. We will be here well after the empire of the United States is around, and we will continue to organize and be grounded in Native values, said Faliano. And that article was Fear, Uncertainty, and Determination Following the Election. Now here's some non-election-related good news. AZ receives federal approval to cover Indigenous healing services through Medicaid by Shaundeen Silversmith of the AZ Mirror, published on November 11, 2024. Indigenous people have relied on traditional healing practices within their communities for generations and continue to do so alongside Western medicine within various tribal health care facilities across Arizona. Even though traditional healing services have not been covered under federal programs like Medicaid, many health care facilities in tribal communities continue to offer these services to Indigenous patients. Because the services were being offered at some tribal healthcare facilities, a working group through the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, or ACCESS, Arizona's Medicaid program, was established to figure out how traditional healing services could be reimbursed. Dr. John Molina, who is Pascua Yaqui and Yavapai Apache from the Arizona Advisory Council on Indian Healthcare, is part of the ACCESS Traditional Healing Work Group. He said the group's work started more than 10 years ago and has been driven by the fact that there's still a significant presence of traditional healing services that patients are utilizing within tribal communities. This is something that our people are still using, even though many folks believe that traditional healing services are probably a thing of the past, Molina said. It really isn't. After about a decade of work, ACCESS received approval in October from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, to cover traditional healing services provided through the Indian Health Service, or IHS, and tribally operated health facilities in Arizona. Indigenous traditional healing is a whole medical system encompassing a range of holistic treatments used by Indigenous healers to treat many acute and chronic conditions or promote health and well-being, according to the National Institutes of Health and the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, or NCCAM. Federal approval of coverage for traditional healing services in Arizona and multiple other states represents a watershed moment in recognizing the importance of culturally competent care, ACCESS Director Carmen Heredia said in a statement. The administration first sought reimbursement for traditional healing through Medicaid in 2015 and again in 2020. As we continue this work in partnership with Arizona's Indigenous communities, we look forward to the positive impact these services will have on the health and well-being of our members, Heredia said. According to the agency, CMS approval allows ACCESS to establish a process and policies for reimbursing services provided by traditional healers employed by or contracted with an IHS or tribally operated health center. Urban Indian organizations may also offer services through a care coordination agreement with an approved IHS or tribally operated facility. According to the agency, traditional healing services can be provided only to ACCESS members eligible to receive services through an IHS or tribally operated facility. Christine Holden, the tribal liaison for ACCESS, said getting federal approval is the first step, and ACCESS will move forward with plans to get state approval. Once ACCESS receives the necessary approval from the Arizona legislature, a timeline will be established for implementation, and members and providers will be notified of the effective date. Traditional healing services take many forms, including sweat lodges, smudging, and ceremonies. Access stated that federal approval represents a critical first step toward allowing traditional healers to bill for services under Medicaid. Molina said this reassures that the IHS facilities and other tribally operated health facilities in Arizona can continue to offer these services, but give those who have yet to provide them a chance to do so. Traditional healing services are so part of our lifestyle and our culture because it brings a sense of wellness and healing that sometimes Western medicine does not, Molina said. Molina said traditional healing incorporates the spiritual aspect of our well-being and health, which indigenous people have done for centuries, even before colonization. It's been a cornerstone of our culture and our health, the wellness of our communities, he added. So it only makes sense that this is something that our people would be very open to continue to work in their communities and with their families. Holden, who is White Mountain Apache and Hopi, said making traditional healing services more widely available is huge for indigenous communities in Arizona because tribes have been using those practices since time immemorial. This is a step in the right direction in terms of expanding that availability and ensuring inclusivity, she said. She also said that Access's ability to reimburse for traditional healing services is very much about respecting tribal sovereignty. Tribes have the right to determine what health care looks like, and they are the best suited to determine what health care looks like for their members, she said. That was AZ receives federal approval to cover indigenous healing through Medicaid. That's all the time I have for Native Sun, the show for indigenous issues on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. Music is Indomitable by DJ Shub.